Wonderful. Good deal. This morning, I was talking last week. We're usually studying through the book of John, but we're going to forego that this morning. I knew that we would have an abbreviated time this morning. So what I decided I would do was, since we were honoring the graduates, I thought I would give a very simple message for the graduates. Hopefully, not good advice, but good truth is what I'd like to call it. I had the pleasure this week of going to a graduation, of course, and I listened to three commencement speeches that were given, and three different quotes were cited from three different famous people through history. One was Confucius, the other one was Dr. Seuss, and then you had Vince Lombardi, which, you know, I thought the Vince Lombardi one was pretty good, but nevertheless, it occurred to me that when I was listening to these speeches, that all three of these famous people that were quoted are dead. Okay? And it's not that we can't get probably some good advice from dead guys. I'm sure there's something we could certainly learn from, and I'm not going to condemn it completely. And so I was thinking about, you know what? I never had the privilege when I was in school of giving a commencement speech. Okay, you had to have a certain GPA for that. I think, actually, to tell the truth, you had to actually go to school for that. Okay, so both of those I was lacking in somewhat. And I never, ever, you know, valedictorians and salutes, I don't have no idea what that stuff means. Okay, but they're the ones that give the speeches, okay? Not knocking them. Okay, and so I thought, you know what, if I was going to give it, if somebody, you know, asked me to give a commencement speech, what would I say, right? What would the content of it be? And so I thought today, well, you know what? I'll give my commencement speech for the graduates, right? And so I'd like to take this opportunity to pass on to them 10 truths from the Bible that I have certainly learned that have helped me in my walk and are certainly applicable for them. So 10 truths that the class of 2013 needs to remember. Now, since Jesus actually is responsible for the creation of the universe, and he wrote the entire Bible from cover to cover, not just the red letters, contrary to popular belief, I thought I would quote him, okay, especially since he is alive and well, okay? And so this would be particularly important to use him in all of my quotes. So here we go. First one on the board. And these aren't in order by importance, okay? They're just 10 truths. First one, honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. On the other hand, your mother and father, and this is the truth of it, children, graduates, whatever, okay? Your mother and father will be the greatest resource for you later on in life when you figure out that you haven't figured it all out, okay? And that's an absolute truth there. Proverbs 1:8 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And I can assure you there's going to come a day in your life when you feel like everybody is crashing in on you, okay? And the whole world is against you. And I'm telling you right now, the truth of it is, there's only going to be two parties in your life that are going to stand by you through the dust. And two of them, or one of them, is going to be your parents, your mother and father, and the other one is going to be Jesus Christ himself, right? Those are the only ones that will stand with you through thick and thin when the smoke clears. So it's so important that we honor our father and mothers. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. And so very important, do not fear and do not be dismayed. The second truth, make your every thought about Jesus. Trust me on this one. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are destroying speculations, okay, that's guessing, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to obedience to Christ. Okay? This is what I want to say about this. Filter everything through the Bible. Filter everything through Scripture, right? Whether you go to college, whether you enter the military, or whether you go right into the workforce, there's going to be no shortage of professors, professionals, and scoffers that are going to continually bombard you and try to convince you that your faith is in vain. Trust me on this. There's no doubt. Don't let the wisdom of the world, I don't care how smart or how popular it is, get caught up in your thoughts about Christ and about what God says in His Word. Protect your heart. God says specifically in 1 Corinthians 1:21 that the world will never come to knowledge of God through their own wisdom. Very important. Make every thought you have about Jesus, filter everything through the Bible. Number three, the truth number three. Remember, do not make money your goal or your treasure. I know you've heard this a million times. Ecclesiastes 5:10 and 11. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is in vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them increase as well. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, says, you know what? Who was the richest man ever, by the way, said, you'll never be satisfied with money, and the more you make, essentially, the more you spend, or the more people will come in and take from you, okay? Two myths about money I want to break for you, and both of them are in these verses 10 and 11. Wealth brings satisfaction. That's the first myth. You will never have enough money. That's the honest truth. I used to visit a lot more than I do now, men and women that were in convalescent hospitals, okay? They had been there for quite some time, and the one thing, the common denominator that they will tell you is that you'll never have enough money in your lifetime. It does not matter. Okay? You can't have too much family, you can't have too much friends, but you will never have enough money. Okay? And so that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says, you'll just spend what you make. Also, that God has set eternity in the hearts of all men, Ecclesiastes 3:11. This is the deal on this. Your satisfaction can never come from the things of the world because you were created in the image of God. And so God is busy restoring His image in you. And so the only thing that will satisfy you is His image, will be God Himself. And so you need to remember that. I know some of these things are going to go right in your ears and fall on the floor, but hopefully someday this will come back to you. The second myth, that money solves every problem. I love this one. I always think about Job, right? Job was a very wealthy man. In fact, God said he was the greatest man alive. Listen to what Job has in chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters who were born to him. His possessions were over 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all men in the East. I laugh about this 3,000 camels as I shared with my Sunday night group in the Old Testament studies. Camels were the Mercedes-Benzes of the day. If you had a camel, you were rolling. That was the Rolls Royce. That was the Mercedes Benz. And whether he had 3,000 of them in his possession, so Job was a very wealthy man. And yet for all of Job's wealth, the story tells us, he was helpless when his entire family was taken away from him and all of his sheep and his herds were killed, right? No amount of money could replace his family. Didn't matter how much money he had, he could not solve that problem. But here's what Job said when he encountered this very thing. In 1:21, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One common denominator I had when I would visit those convalescent hospitals is the same common denominator I had when I would go visit babies. Okay? The same way that these people came into the world very much in these hospitals, they were leaving the same way. Hardly any possessions. And so it's not something to be frowned upon, but it's something to contemplate what's the most important thing in this world. God says that we have everything by His grace. That everything belongs to Him. That He owns everything. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us on loan. Okay? And so we don't deserve for Him to give us anything. In fact, if we were really to contemplate our own thoughts and our own tensions here today, really the only thing we deserve is hell. Okay? And so we wake up every morning and we thank God for the things that He does give us. Truth number four. Instead of money, make Jesus your treasure. Paul says, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, right? Paul says that Jesus should be more valuable than your reputation, okay? This is very important. He should be more valuable than the friendships that you have. He should be more valuable than your approval rating on your Facebook. Okay? Paul says there's nothing that surpasses that, right? Paul says that there is nothing in his life that was more valuable than knowing Christ, Jesus, as his Lord. Listen to what the psalmist says. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. The truth of it is, the psalmist says, is that you have to seek after the Lord every day, that you have to look for His beauty every day, that you have to meditate on Him every day. In other words, that if you put as much time into pursuing the Lord, into seeking after the Lord, right, as you do looking for new apps on your cell phone, right, or posting new messages on your Facebook or texting your friends, you would know the treasure of Christ. You would know the treasure of Christ. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so I always think about this. I had a little thing I read a few years ago. So I kind of carry it with me every once in a while when I want to make people feel guilty. But it was this article called Bible versus Cell Phone. Let me read this to you. It's very good. Bible versus Cell Phone. I wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phones. What if we carried it around in our purses and our pockets? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it? What if we flipped through it several times a day? And what if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? And what if we gave it to our kids as gifts? What if we used it as we traveled? And what if we used it in case of emergency? And what if we bought a new one every time it wore out? Oh, and one more thing. Unlike your cell phone, we don't ever have to worry about the Bible being disconnected because Jesus Christ paid the bill. Truth number five. Have the courage to do whatever God places before you. This is a big one. Have the courage to do whatever God places before you. Listen to the text. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warrior, and neither is the bread to the wise, or wealth to discerning, nor favor of men of ability. For time and chance overtake them all. One of the things I hear in these commencement speeches is that in order to be successful in life, you have to follow your dreams. And it's interesting to me because all of the studies I've done in the Bible where it involves dreams, where God has brought dreams to someone, it's always about God telling them what He wants them to do. Not about their dreams, but about what God wants them to do. And you know what? 90% of the time, what God has them to do isn't popular. There's no wealth in it, but it does glorify God. I think about that all the time. My suggestion is, just like the psalmist says, or just like Solomon says, that whatever God puts in front of you, have the courage to do what God has called you to do. Okay? Because if God is behind it, I guarantee you it will be the most successful thing that you ever do. It will also bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whenever then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Number six, truth. Do not worry too much about what people think of you. Okay? I love this one, right? Also, do not take seriously all the words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. I love that. That's one of the best verses for this week for me. right? He says, hey, don't worry too much about what people think of you or what they say about you, because at some time in your life, you have said bad things or cursed others. Okay? He says, so don't take it to heart, right? There's going to be times in your life when people are critical of your life. They're critical of your looks, or they're critical of your faith, right? Don't take the people's evaluation of you too seriously. There's been times, right, when you have been critical of their life and you've been critical of their looks. But you got to remember something, that you are not like everyone else. You were created uniquely in the image of God. Okay? This is so precious. God does not make subpar people. Okay? He only creates perfection. Look at this, Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb, and I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. So the actuality, the only concern you should have in this life is what God thinks of you. That's really the only opinion that ever matters. Truth number seven. This one's huge. Listen up, teenagers. Never consider marrying or dating someone who doesn't love Jesus Christ more than you. This will be the most important thing you hear today. In every instance in the Bible, when God's people married or even dated outside of the covenant, it turned into folly. Every single case. I can't tell you how many couples I have counseled about this, and I have seen it work out in their lives, and folly, pain, and misery always follows this, right? It's the most important advice you'll ever get, okay? Don't ever consider marrying or dating someone that does not love Jesus Christ for you. For the young men in here today, quit concentrating on finding the right woman and start concentrating on being the right man. God will bring the right woman to you when you're the right man for God. And for you young ladies, right, don't let your outward appearance, okay, don't let your physical appearance be your only attraction, but rather let it be, Peter says, your hidden quality, your inner beauty that draws a godly man to you. And here's what you let him see. When a godly man comes to you, you show him your devotion to the Lord. Trust me on this. This does two things when you show your devotion to the Lord. First, it'll repel any dude that's coming along, okay, that has the wrong intentions. Believe me, it'll drive him away. He does not want a lady who is more devoted to the Lord than anything else. Secondly, any man that does stick it out, this will be a confirmation to you that God has brought you somebody who is a potential mate or a date. Truth number eight, do not be ashamed of the gospel. And this is a big one. This is a big one. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone believes. Right? Let me tell you something. If no one is ever opposed to what you believe or offended by your faith, then they probably have no idea where you stand. Okay? They have no idea what you believe. And my advice to you going into college, going into high school, going into business, whatever you're going to do, is do not hide your faith in Christ from everyone around you. I'm telling you this. Especially those who you would call friends or potential employers. Because if you do, because you're afraid, okay, of rejection, what happens later on is when they finally find out that you are a follower of Christ, right? They only consider you, right, to be disingenuous or even worse, a liar. The world cannot stomach Jesus, but they can't stomach hypocrites even less. Okay? So always wear Christ on your sleeve, so to speak. If you have truly given your life over to Christ, then honor Him by your actions. Matthew 10, Jesus says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Truth number nine, remember, you're going to die. That's the truth of it. Nobody escapes it. There's a 100% fatality rate for everyone who was ever born. Unfortunately, at your age, you don't believe this. But I'm just passing it on to you what the Bible says. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." Psalm 90 says, "So teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." The truth of it is, only God knows your hour and your time of your death, but He has already set it before He even created the first star. And so we should learn to number our days and make our lives count, is what God says. He says, if you could truly comprehend God's power and wisdom, you wouldn't waste your life on meaningless endeavors. Live every day as though it's your last, and fear God and honor Him, and use your brief lives for His glory. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." The last truth, number 10. Trust in the Lord and not your circumstances. In the very exact center of the Bible, Psalm 118:8, okay? The exact middle, the middle verse of the entire Scriptures, it says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than it is to trust in men." And so God speaks to us in many different ways on this. But one of the ways that God speaks to us the most is He communicates to us through circumstances, okay? And so you need to stop and ask God in your circumstances what He is doing. And you need to ask Him where He is going with your circumstances. And then you need to join Him in what He is doing. God has always worked through circumstances. I wrote down just a few examples. Remember, Joseph was put in prison for 11 years so that God could teach him patience, right? We just talked about Job. Job lost everything, his family, his herds, so that he could have a more intimate, so that he could understand. Job said, "I used to see you, but now I hear you." Okay, a more intimate relationship. Paul was thrown into prison. Okay? One of the greatest evangelists we know was thrown into prison so that the guards that were handcuffed to him daily could also hear the gospel. Very important. And the Israelites, as you know, they were enslaved by Egypt, right, for over 400 years so that God could demonstrate His power, right, over their circumstances. One of my favorite illustrations is, I heard this a few years back, there's a guy going to Sunday services, driving to church in the morning, and on the way he got a flat tire. And so he was very frustrated by this, and it took like over an hour for the tow truck to show up and actually change his tire, and so that made him late. And so by the time he got to church that morning, by the time he got to the services that morning, he was already frustrated, and he was sharing with a group. He said, "Man, I got to tell you, Satan has been attacking me this morning because he does not want me to worship, okay? Because I had this flat tire and the tow truck driver was late and yada, yada, yada." And so one astute listener that was sitting with him, another Christian brother that was sitting next to him, said, "Maybe it wasn't Satan who was responsible for your flat tire, but maybe it was God who was responsible for your flat tire, because that tow truck driver needed to hear the gospel of Christ too." Okay? So we always need to wait on God before we evaluate our circumstances. Here's the one thing that's true, and you need to remind yourself of this and keep it in your heart. Okay? When bad things happen to you in your life, and they will, it can never, according to Scripture, be because God does not love you. Okay? Did you just hear what I said? No matter what happens to you, and I don't care how severe it is, Scripture makes it clear that it can never be because God does not love you. Because He's already demonstrated His love for you when He went to the cross, right? God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to hear this. Okay? When bad things happen to you, and they will, it will not be because God does not love you. He said He loved you even while you hated Him when you were sinners. So how much more does He love you now that you belong to Him? In fact, if the truth be known, no one on this earth loves you more than God. And nobody will ever suffer more than Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so those two things we look to in our life. 20 or 30 years from now, you're not going to remember the details of your graduation. My 30th class reunion is this year. I don't have a clue what happened when I graduated. Okay? But I can tell you this. The word of the Lord endures forever. And so that's where you need to keep your focus. That's where you need to keep your life. That's where you need to keep your mind, your heart, and your soul. And you will never go wrong. You will never go wrong. So remember these things, class of 2013. Cherish these things, and you will do well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth. It's probably seems like a million other things that we could convey this morning, Lord, that would be also true. But I'm just thankful for the opportunity, Father God, to present those things that seem to be reoccurring themes in our life this morning. And so I pray openly and wholeheartedly for our students, whether they're just moving on to the next level or they're moving out. I think in my heart and my mind, I can think of no other more precarious position to be in, Father, than to be a teenager of today. And so I pray for their hearts and their minds this morning, Lord. I pray that you would protect them through your word if they know you. I pray that you will keep them from distractions, Father God, and I pray that you will keep them diligent in the word. I pray that you will protect them, Lord, and I will pray on your promise that you will keep them from the evil one. I know there's lessons to be learned, Father God. I know there's circumstances in which we will be taught, but Father, please, if there's any plea this morning, it's not that you would keep them from the things of the world, but that you would keep them focused on you through the things of the world. We read a few weeks back in Psalm 23, Lord, that you are the good shepherd, that not only do you keep us when it's near the streams or the green grass, Father God, but you also walk us through and are with us and never forsake us through the valley of death. So we thank you for your truth this morning, Father God. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name.